My lords, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Paul Carenza podcast, catching up as we are with different people in these crazy pandemic-y times. Hello, I'm Paul Carenza, delighted to be with you, doing something a bit different with this podcast. If you haven't noticed for the last few episodes or so, I don't think that I know of anyone else really kind of doing this with the podcast. I'm basically treating a Paul Carenza podcast as a sort of channel where you can have a different variety of shows. So originally we had the Heptagon Club, which was meeting seven different guests every single episode. It was an editing nightmare. We had Comedians with Books, and now we have Catching Up with Different People. And this week I'm catching up with a very old friend of mine who I've known for over half my lifetime. I'm in Guildford, he's in San Diego. It's my old university buddy. We get into COVID and Trump and Brexit and try and glean his wisdom in these crazy days. Ladies and gentlemen, American Dave.
Delighted to welcome to the podcast, to a Paul Carenza podcast. Do I call you American Dave or do I just call you Dave?
I don't know. You can call me American Dave.
American Dave? It's American. He has a surname as well.
I am an American and I'm in America right now.
So whereabouts in the great land of America are you?
San Diego.
That's where I last saw you. So
yeah, I haven't moved.
No, you haven't moved. Literally in the same position again, leaning against the same wall. Just yes. You know, it's been quite.
It is the same wall.
Probably is. Well, you know, we spoke briefly for a podcast of mine a while ago, I think, and it was at least one pandemic ago. I'm sure.
It was before, like a week before Trump was elected.
It was. You know, I knew there was something momentous. I couldn't place what it was. I thought, wasn't it a pandemic? No, it was Trump. That's right.
It was Trump. It's funny. So we didn't know, you know. That's right. And then of course it happened, and then the rest is history, I guess.
So I guess, I mean, we have so much we could talk about, but really I have three questions for you, I suppose. Okay. One is, so how's it been since Trump? How's it been since Biden? And how's your pandemic?
Okay. All right.
So pick them in any order you want.
All right. I'll do since Trump first. If I had known the future then, I would have not believed it. It was not something that I had even considered in our last podcast over 4 years ago, that what would transpire. I mean, it's been quite the adventure over here.
It's been a roller coaster. I can only imagine from afar.
Are you guys actually interested in it? Like, do you? Because we get the news updates like every day.
Yeah.
You know, we live here, but are people in Britain actually interested in the saga of the American presidency?
Of course. Well, I mean, I'll be honest. What basically happens is whenever you get those big touchstone moments, which is generally speaking, like the election, then it is. Pretty much wall-to-wall coverage here. We have other news, meanwhile. And finally, here's what's happening on this island. Thanks. So subject to pandemics and things. So certainly the US election, whether it was the one that Trump won, then, of course, Biden. And then, of course, you've got your storming of Capitol Hill.
That was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. But, as you watched it, it's like, oh, that could happen. Could happen. Because you could just kind of see it happening. And then I have friends, I'm personally am independent. Okay. So I do.
Interesting.
But I lean Democratic.
Yeah.
Or Democrat. So I did vote for Biden. I'm sorry. Sorry to announce
that. That's quite all right. But it's interesting you say, because I don't think many, from what I gather, I mean, I'm completely objective. What's the opposite of objective? No, subjective. But it seems that most Americans I see on the news or whatever, I suppose they pick the opinionated people, but most would say, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, I'm independent. I blow where the wind goes.
I mean, because I could vote for a reasonable Republican if the situation arose, and I have occasionally. I would say 10%.
A floating voter.
I'm a floating voter. Yes.
Yeah.
But it did. I mean, you could see it happening. The insurrection coming, he did lose, right? I mean, he did lose the election from what I can tell, if I actually read news outlets. But I have friends who, of course, don't believe it, and all the conspiracies. And I don't know, I still talk to them, but it's not, I'm not invested. I mean, it's all conspiracy, in my opinion.
It's but you can
It's an
see,
alternate reality. It's a completely alternate reality.
It's like with the benefit of hindsight, and this is why again we've been transfixed. Yeah, like I said, the Capitol Hill stuff, and then Trump refusing to leave, and then it's like a soap opera. You're tuning in each night, series linking the news so you can watch the latest installment, because it's like a soap opera. Because with the benefit of hindsight, all of those
Well, and then he
seeds.
got COVID himself
Well,
too.
I know. I mean, you couldn't plan these things. You couldn't write it, but the fact that early on in his presidency, he's sowing those seeds about fake news. And at the time, it was a joke. You know, it was like a sketch that you could see on TV. People are taking the mick out of it. But then you look back and go, by planting the seeds then of fake news, everything's fake news. Oh, I'll only believe what I want to believe. And then he starts talking about, oh, well, I didn't really lose the election. Oh, by the way, the cure for COVID is bleach. I mean, all this nonsense
And then he has
stuff.
all these people believe him and they storm the Capitol and people die, you know? And it's just like, oh yeah, this is not my problem. I had nothing to do with it. And then a whole bunch of people believe that, you know, which is just kind of absurd to me in general. My opinion on it is my life is fine. Nothing terrible is happening in my life and my immediate surroundings. I live in California. Everyone seems to basically get along. We do have occasionally, like, they show up on the news where some, you know, anti-vax protest gets violent, you know. So we do see it, but it's sort of like I wouldn't go to those anyway, you know, and be involved in that. I mean, I personally put on a mask. I don't know why it sort of became like this manly thing not to wear a mask in general. Like, it's just, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's, I mean, I'm now vaccinated. My kids are not, you know, and we took them to school. Finally, we get to go back to school in California. Like, we have not gone to school or done really anything for like a year and a half for our kids. Finally, take them back to school. And they've been in 1 week, and then the next week they get sick.
Oh, really? So is that where we are now?
Not with COVID,
Okay, but
but
they're sick.
it's so COVID world that you can't bring them in,
No, of
you
course
know,
not. Of
for
course.
another week. And now finally they're back again this week, thank goodness, you know. But it's still happening, and it would be nice if people were just nice to each other and did what they were supposed to do and not complain about it. You know, until everyone gets vaccinated, and then it's your, whatever, I don't care. You know, colds are colds.
What
They're gonna happen.
at the
Although it
minute?
was really nice for a year and a half not to get a single
I know
cold.
they're coming back now, aren't they, with a
Yeah, they
vengeance?
are.
But you know, then you
Yeah,
feel really
I got
rough
the
because
shits.
you forget how bad colds can be. Suddenly, like, oh, I've not had one last year. You know, it's mad.
What is this thing that's happening to me? So as far as Trump, I guess Trump kind of ties into the pandemic too, because it sort of became. It was almost like how I saw it was Trump didn't want anything bad to happen and everything to be great, and the pandemic was just not going to be a good thing. So let's just ignore it, pretend it's not here, and then convince everyone that it is a hoax or it's China's fault or whatever. I mean, maybe it's China's fault. It's not. Is it really China's fault if some random person accidentally in a lab, you know, got sick from something that we're doing, and then all of a sudden it got out of the lab? I mean,
It could have
you
happened
know,
anywhere, really. And now, you know, regardless of where it started, it's now everywhere, you know. And it's like, well, what next? What do we do with it now? And how do we and the political slogan we hear a lot over here in the UK is, oh, we have to learn to live with it. And I think, great, okay, I'm with you so far, but can you tell us what that means? What does that look like? You know, it's
Will
easy to
I
say.
die by living with
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, the people I see on, there was a guy on Breakfast News here saying, you know, we've got to just learn to live with it. We've got to just, you know, just get on, learn to live with it. And I think, yeah, but you are a multimillionaire sitting in a desk 2 meters away from your co-host, where they're artificially shrinking the screen so they look like they're next to each other, but they're not. It's easy to say we just got to learn to live with it when you've still got all those things in place and you're getting a car to work each day, you know, with a driver. But for the those of us who have jobs where, you know, work in factories or schools or hospitals, whatever.
Or your stand-up comedy.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do we live? What does that mean to live with? Yes, we're going to learn to live with it, but how do we look after each other as we do so? You know, so I'm still wearing masks to go into shops.
Yes, good for you.
But I know, you know, I've got friends who aren't and who are double jabbed. You go, actually, I don't need to wear a mask now because I'm jabbed. You go, yeah, but actually, it's more about the other people you're protecting.
You call it jabbed.
Jabbed, yeah. Double jabbed.
Double jabbed.
Double jabbed.
I like that. Yeah,
I think we've just reached 90% of Britons now has had a single dose. No, 90% has got the double.
God bless
both,
you.
Both.
God bless. Here, it's what, 50%?
Is it really?
It's 50%.
Yeah.
People are, or maybe it's like 55 now.
Okay.
Because the kids haven't been vaccinated yet, so then it'll get up to maybe 60, I think.
But think what we're now finding here is the cases are going up. So the numbers, we see the graph in the news about it's going up. But I know various local friends now, especially in the last week, who have just got it, who aren't double jabbed, but they still got it. They're still testing positive and they're feeling a bit run down. But the difference is they're not getting anywhere near as severe a version of it as.
Which is good.
So I mean, I think
that is, you know, living with it, right?
Exactly. So I think that's it. We are going to get it again, but just if you get the jabs, you hopefully, you know, you should get the mild version and then you just get through it. But you still got to look after people, but stay home and all that stuff. So you don't go and spread it to people who, you know, might suffer worse. So I guess that's what it means. And then in time, it will become just like the common cold. It'll become milder. It'll become just another thing.
Yeah. I mean, Trump actually said at a rally, I got jabbed, you should do it. And people booed him. His own fans booed him.
That's not the Trump we voted for. Even though when they voted for him, there was no pandemic. There was nothing. This wasn't on the manifesto or the agenda for anyone, you know.
No, nothing. Mm. Yeah, and in California, we had an election for governor. I think it was yesterday now. And it was, you know, he won. Our governor, who was Democrat, he stayed in, but even before the results came in, we found voter fraud. You know, are you ever going to believe that this is a real election?
Oh man. Oh dear.
$300 million to shoot this down. Anyway. So, all right. Again, my life is fine. My life is fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Everything's good, but I do, I'm normally a very positive person. I'm usually pretty positive, but reading this stuff, watching this stuff as an American, I do get kind of beaten down, depressed, I guess, you know, because it's constant. And it's also just kind of, you do wonder, you can say, oh, they're crazy or I'm crazy or someone's, but it's really these clash of alternate realities that kind of, you don't know what to believe anymore. As far as, you know, I even regular news, I'm starting to like doubt if it's real, because I start, you know, because I get it in my news feed and then I accidentally click on some articles that are like, maybe it's not so true, and then all of a sudden I start getting the fake news articles,
and I
start reading those and then I don't know. And I have friends who also subscribe to the alternate reality that I sort of live in. So they, you know, in this very election, I talked to someone yesterday and they were like, it's terrible, I'm going to leave California. I can't believe this guy lost, you know, for governor. And so they're like, I'm leaving. I can't, you know, I'm buying a house in North Carolina. Okay, fine. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Pick a place, you know. And then when it doesn't work out there.
This is another terrible thought too. So I have this other terrible thought. It's like, okay, so all of the Republicans, I can't even believe I have this thought, right? But they don't want to get vaccinated. So they're all dying, you know?
Right.
And it's like, that's one less voter.
Oh, man. It's brutal. You know? It is. But the thing is, and actually, I mean, we often say this here in this house, we're looking at the news and especially our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. And some of the, you know, they had all these restrictions over the year. Now it's like, do what you want. You know, it's basically have responsibility yourself, but do what you want. Yeah. And we keep saying, like, you know what this is? This is one big experiment. You know, we are all part of this experiment. And there are people who think, oh, yeah, well, my government are looking out for me. And in small ways, I'm sure they are. You know, we pay our taxes, you get healthcare, whatever it might be. But the big but, I think, is that they don't actually care, I don't think. That, you know, if one extra person dies or whatever, I don't think the government are, we're a statistic. That's all it is, you know. And you look at the news and you see the people in hospital, and they keep saying on the news that the people in hospital who are dying with this stuff, generally speaking, are those who are older,
but
maybe.
Not all.
But not all, but many are the ones who've got COVID and haven't been jabbed. And yeah. You know, especially the older ones. I mentioned that's because, like, you know,
sorry, you didn't generally keep saying jabbed. I mean, that's great.
Sorry. But you know, yeah. But the young, yeah. Generally speaking, you know, children, younger people, don't suffer as bad as the older people, it seems. But it's like, you know, we're all part of this giant experiment, really, because the government is sort of going, okay, well, just sort yourselves out. We've pushed it, we've done the adverts, we've told you what you need to do. If you don't listen to us, you know, mingle, go to nightclubs, spend money, go and boost the economy, catch it, maybe. But those, you know, the anti-vax people.
But okay, so in America, there are, especially in the South, all the hospitals are now overrun, right? Right. So it's actually happening. And so people who get heart attacks or whatever, you know, they're dying as well.
Mm. Yeah, so that's the main issue. Of course, it's the knock-on. Right? It's awful. Yeah.
You know, so that's the main issue. Like, even when it first started, okay, yes, we can get it. You can be treated as best as possible. But the standard of care is starting to go down. And so people are still not listening to that message or even caring. You know? And so, so that starts happening. So that's, I don't know. I feel bad. But the other thing is, it's 20th anniversary of September 11th, I did the horrible thing, and I watched the 6-part documentary on Hulu. Do you guys have Hulu?
Yes, we sort of do. It's on the fringes. Right. I don't have it.
Depressed. Okay, so 3,000 people that died, right? And you look on the news, and it's a day, you know, 2,000 people or whatever, even, you know, 1,600 people a day are dying, you know, from this. And it's only, we had such a huge response to 9/11, which, you know, you can argue how we did it. It may not have been the best or whatever, just a reaction. But even this now is happening, and it's like, okay, well, welcome to America. It's my right to do whatever I want to do.
You get immune to the numbers in the end. You know, I remember, you know, the numbers are so big and just it's so ongoing, it's relentless. But I remember distinctly, at the very start of this pandemic, one of the news readers on the BBC, a guy called Sean Lay, and he's pretty experienced. He's not one of the main anchors, but he's, you know, he's been doing it for decades. And he was there saying, it was the day before they'd had like one person had died from it, three people had died with it. And then when he was on, I saw it, there are 10 people in the UK have now died from COVID. So this is right at the start. And we could all see the trajectory it was going to go. And this was still the early days. He was pretty much the last newsreader, I think, who announced them all by name. So he said, we've just heard this person in this place, age this, has sadly died. And he went through it as a list. And you just knew, watching it live, that this would be the last of these lists, because we knew the next day it was going to be 60 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And but he did it with such dignity and respect, but also deep down, you could tell he knew that we'd have to stop doing this soon, that this would have to be the last of these sort of respectful, you know, moments of dignity. And I don't know him at all, but I emailed him. I just did firstname.lastname@bbc.co.uk and just said, well done. I thought that was incredibly sensitively handled. And he replied and forwarded it to the head of BBC News and said, look, we are making a difference. I'm pleased that this went down well. And he was great. I just think the dignity he gave it was fantastic, because since then, you can't list all 1,000 people.
It's hard
people.
To handle exponential, right?
Yeah.
Exponential growth. I don't think we're made to understand how that happens. And really, in America, there's 330 million people, you know? So, you know, you can't encompass that sort of in your mind. How many people do you meet in your life, you know? I mean, maybe you meet, you know.
I've met seven people. That's it. That's all I've
seven
met.
Seven people.
Yeah.
Well, and everything's gotten so closed now.
I
guess it's opening back up, but I still am. Our kids are doing stuff, but we're still, even because we got sick, just a regular sick. So then everything closed down again. So, you know, we're still, it's because you can't just send your kid to school sick now.
No, that's it. Yep.
You know,
things change.
Stay home.
Stay home. Stay exactly. Home.
But yeah, my wife. When this happened, my wife lost her job.
Right.
And then she's not planning on going back and finding anything at this point.
What was she doing? What was her
working with kids who had autism.
Okay. Right.
So going to their homes and stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
So that's in person. sort of thing.
Yeah, when you have to, it's not, you can't work from home doing that really in the same way, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's not a Zoom thing.
It's a changing time, isn't it?
It is. Well, and it's still, it's going on such a long time. You know, and I think people want it to open back up again. I mean, the pandemic's over as far as like government support mostly here.
Yeah.
They've just decided to stop it. So, sort of fend for yourself. It is what it is. You know.
Yep. Yep. I'd like to add something encouraging and optimistic to that, but I got nothing. It's the thing is, the thing is, you know, it is an unsettling time. I mean, normally I do like I do 3 gigs a week normally, right? My normal standard thing would be in the normal time, 3 gigs a week. Last year it was 3 gigs a year, you know, and two of those were in car parks. And then right now it's probably more like, well, actually right at the minute, it's actually normal about one or two a week, but that's just for the next sort of couple of weeks, just happens to be quite busy. But then after that, it's more like one gig every 10 days, something like that. And it's good, it's building back, but it's not enough to live on. You know, this doesn't, it just means your salary is sort of halved. You know, so I'm trying to do more writing, but the writing is slower because TV production is slower, and that's, I think, takes twice as long to film. I start a university lecturing job next week doing half a day.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. See, I'm very nervous because I've not done it before, but it's
like half.
We'll see how we go. But it's half a day a week. And I was thinking, you know, my wife said, just seize it, go for it, apply, do the thing. Because, you know, it's an institution. It's, you know, I'm a freelancer at heart, but it's working for a big institution.
It's
that
the door. It's
hopefully, hopefully the institution of the university will stay. You know, hopefully all the universities won't suddenly go, oh, that's it, we don't exist anymore.
They stopped taking students, but they're all going back to school, right? They've been jabbed.
Yeah, and we can teach online and things like that, so there are options there. So it's just a case of trying on lots of different hats, trying on new things, and seeing what sticks, I guess. You know, but I don't know in 5 years from now whether I'll be doing, you know, not hardly any stand-up, or more teaching, or more writing, or more radio. In theory, radio I can do from home, but it's tricky, you know. So I don't know. Yeah. It's and as a result, I'm trying like 9 different jobs at the minute. I feel like we had this cartoon when I was a kid on TV called Mr. Ben.
Oh, I need to buy the Planet Protectors book.
Oh yes, you can.
If
I had one here, I could feed it through the screen. There you.
No, I can do it on Amazon, right?
You could do. Yeah, you probably can. You probably can. I should know that. You definitely, it's on Amazon over here. I presume it's on Amazon in America. I don't know whether they print on demand or what, but
because it's for kids. Like my kids are 6 and 9.
That's perfect. Yeah. Well, I think it's meant to be like 7 to 11-year-olds or something like that. It's 52 ways to save the world. And it is by a Christian publisher. We've deliberately tried to make sure that it's as broad as possible. So just lots of ideas about things you can do in your school, in your home, in your garden, out for walks, that sort of thing. And I'm still learning myself. I don't really know how to look after the planet as well as the person I wrote the book with, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get better.
There it is. 52 ways to look after God's world.
That's the one. That's the one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I am Jewish, but it's okay.
Well, it's okay. Well, it's, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, it's still God's world. We're just living in it, you know. But, but no, it's whether or not you believe in that God, it doesn't really actually change how we look after the world, I suppose. So that's the way.
What I do, Amazon, because we have an Amazon business as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do. We sell a diaper bag backpack.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In America. Sorry.
So you traditionally, American Dave, have oodles of wisdom.
Yes.
For every occasion. But I don't know, is this, do we have wisdom yet in all this? Or are we still working out? Well, we look back in hindsight.
That was my thing, right? Because I was thinking about it and, okay, yes. I mean, there is wisdom in that really all of the news, right? How much does it actually affect your life? And I do believe it's very, very little in the end. The pandemic, of course, has created these constraints and issues, but everyone in my family has not gotten sick. Everyone has been fine. Their, you know, jobs have definitely shifted. So my work day to day is different. But a lot of stuff can now be done online. I do think it's a shift in lifestyle. I do enjoy talking to you on Zoom. I mean, who would have thought that
Yep.
this would ever be a possibility?
Well, I think
But
back to the last time.
technology has sort of been a crutch, but it's also been something that I think has helped us get through all of this.
Well, when we last spoke on that for a podcast, 5 years ago, whenever it was, maybe longer, 8 years ago, probably, if it was the Trump thing, I don't, six, I don't know,
It was
but
five.
5, was it? Okay, 5 years ago, we didn't have Zoom, didn't exist. Zoom was an ice lolly in this country anyway, and we spoke on, I think it was Skype, but I didn't really know how to record.
It was an issue. I think we did
It was
FaceTime.
tricky. It was FaceTime, that's right, but I couldn't work out how to record your voice and mine at the same time. It just wasn't feasible. But here we are a few years later. So yeah, it was the right time for a pandemic, you could argue. If it was 15 years ago, it would be dial-up, be
Never
terrible.
good. I mean, but these things happen, right? So, I mean, we haven't had a real pandemic for 100 years.
Yeah.
But it's not like the, at least it's not the Black Plague, you know, where how many, you know, if you got it, you had a 60% chance of dying, you know. So imagine going through that.
Yeah, true.
And so we've actually had the resources and the ability to, if you want to protect yourself. And the vaccines are pretty amazing. I mean, if they do work. It's an amazing technology to actually be able to go and know what DNA, you know, almost give instructions to our body. Like, here's what it's going to look like, you know, and to say, here it is, and this is the exact replica. I mean, I assume if this thing changes or shifts, they just change the, you know, the DNA, the vaccine itself, and just rewrite the program of what the vaccine. Look out for this now, you know.
I guess so. I mean, I take heart in the fact that, yeah, it's a very troubling time. Yes, we've got great technology and great science that can help us. But you think back, even let's say it would happen 10 years ago, we wouldn't have got things, the vaccines done as quickly, the technology we've got like this. So flash forward another 5 years or 10 years or 3 years, and who knows what other medical leaps would have made or scientific leaps. So, right. By then, we could be able to remote control program, from home, like, oh, my DNA needs to be changed because of the thing. Beep, there you go, done. I don't know, but we can't predict in 5, 10 years from now. I think socially, politically, I don't have a lot of optimism for the next 5 to 10 years,
No, I agree.
globally,
I think one of the
scientifically, I do.
main issues is with all these advances in technology, even automation, right? Many of people are, you know, all of a sudden you don't need to do this job, and many jobs are being done remotely or even not at all. They're being done by computers. We as a society are not taking advantage of the fact that we can work less. You know, we don't actually need to be doing a lot of the things that, you know, have to happen to survive. And so why are all of the people who are creating these things of automation and remote work, why are they getting all the money? And then the people who can't work, there's no structure for them to be able to appreciate the benefits. We should all be working less. We should be working 25 hours a week, you know, if that, and sharing that wealth of the fact that we, to survive, don't need as much as we did 20 years ago. But the structures that are set in place are all based on ideas, you know, that are in the 50s and 60s of how you should be working and how you should be getting money and all of that, you know. So there are individuals who are completely destitute because they don't have access to the benefits of how we currently live.
And I guess also with that, then you're quite right, I think. And then the money just rises to the top because
It
you
does.
own the company that develops the thing that helps everything be automated. Then yeah, if you own that company, you sell the company, whatever. It's well done you, payday. But the rest of us who've
Good for
actually done
you.
the work to get to that point, not saying I've done any of that work, but people who do, that's it. They
Yeah,
just
good for
clock in,
them,
clock out.
you know. And then, but they get the benefit, but it doesn't really benefit the people who it's supposed to benefit, in a sense, because people are still struggling, you know, working way too much for things that, you know, I don't know. That's my opinion. It's just an opinion. Just an opinion.
Well, on which then, so like over here, like food prices are just going up quite a bit
Yes,
now, partly because
happening
of the
here too.
pandemic and partly because of our beloved thing called Brexit. So As an outsider looking in, what's your view of Brexit?
Brexit. Okay, so I'm sorry you have to experience Brexit. You know, it's. I mean, I get a limited view, but it also seems to be like a sort of Trumpian ideology. I guess is it Trumpian? Is it what do you call it there? It's more us them, right?
Yeah,
it feels like us them.
Yeah, it feels like the pre-Trump Trump kind of thing. It's yeah. Faragean, if anything. This Nigel Farage, who yeah. you know was a cheerleader yeah. for Trump before
you are not. Britain is an island, okay? Mm. You are a great island, you know that is cut off from the rest of the world and are self-sufficient and need no other assistance on any matters. You know,
that's the hope for many people.
In. Not even the lorry drivers from France. Right?
I know who bring us our food. Exactly.
They can't even get into the country to deliver your food, right? Is that basically the issue? They can't get a visa to be able to bring the food in.
Well, there's a bit of there's all. I mean, there's so many factors going on. We've got a shortage right now of blood vials. You can't get blood tests at your local doctors because they haven't got anything to put it in, because they're all in Europe. We've got, I think one of the main facts, there's the lorry thing, the fact that everything's being delayed there so people can't bring the stuff in. We're told not to expect as many exotic foods for the next season, you know, expect liver and bacon and classic English foodstuffs that we've all hated for years.
Didn't this happen in the 1950s where you guys had to, you know,
survive? It's grow your own veg again. I think it's like the war spirit, you know. But you get many people saying, oh, well, it was good enough for my grandparents. You go, well, yeah, but we also had, you know, rickets and lots of other illnesses that came out of the war. You know, we're a more global world now. And do you like Thai food? Yeah, I love Thai food. Okay, do you like Spanish food? Yeah, I love Spanish food. Well, you're not going to get it anymore. So, you know, say goodbye to it. I mean, you will. There's always flavoring. But I think the main factor is people that we used to rely on, especially people from Eastern Europe, to come here and work in especially our care homes, in farmers' fields and things like that. And so we have now crops in fields that are not being gathered because no Brits want to do the gathering. And the Eastern European people who normally come over for seasonal work, they come over and then go back to Eastern Europe. They're in Eastern Europe and they can't come over here because they can't get work permits and they don't want to come. So instead, we haven't, you know, there are at my local supermarket, there's no milk currently. And we love our milk in this country. We are people from Eastern Asia think that Brits smell of milk.
So why is this happening? We live in this amazingly. I feel for you guys. In America, yes, we have the similar issue. It's not as bad because we have so many people. But yeah, I mean the fight against immigration is. I think everyone should have a right to exist wherever they are. Okay. You have a right if you're here and in you know America, right? Or you're there in Britain, you're there, you know. You don't have to be kicked out. You don't have to live under fear of threat of having your livelihood taken away, you know, because of your sort of made up status of nationhood.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is just sort of a creation of the mind anyway.
Yeah.
You know. Yes, if a job is needed to be done, anyone who wants to do that job should have a right to do it wherever the person who was hiring them would have them do it. And if they, you know, then if they do it well, great, they get to keep the job. If they do it bad, you know, then they look for another. I think that's fair.
Okay, you know? Devil's advocate then. What if everyone goes, you know what, I want to be on this beautiful tropical island, but there are too many people who want to do that then because the island is too small for the number of people who want to live in this tropical paradise.
I mean, but there's got to be jobs there, right? So if they don't have a job, they won't, you know, then they would just leave, I would think.
That's true. Yeah, there isn't. I think, well, maybe that's it because, like, Britain is not a tropical paradise. We are not that island. You know, we are not the Bahamas.
I would like to live in Britain, though. I would be willing to.
You have, I mean.
Even then, I'm not, you know.
Well, what we've not mentioned is that you have lived in Britain because that's how we got to know each other because we're in university together.
Yes.
We
were for 1 year, 1 year of my life. Was it a few visits after?
Yeah.
But yes.
When it was, I mean, yeah, you were here for a degree's worth, weren't you? For 3 or 4 years at least.
1 year. Yep, 1 year. Nottingham.
It wasn't 1 year, was it?
I did. It was 1 year. Yes.
You were there for longer than that.
No, it was 1 year. And then I came and visited a few times.
Okay.
Like a month here and a month there. So
I remember distinctly you stayed with me down here in Surrey and you wanted to see a castle. And yes. I took you to Guildford Castle, which is near where I am right now. And you look at it going like, now I wanted to see a castle. This is like a shed or a shack or whatever. What is this place? And we had to,
the one that fit the bill of like an actual castle was like the Warwick Castle.
Windsor Castle. We took you to Windsor Castle. That was
Windsor, but I haven't been to Windsor.
I took you to Windsor Castle. I took you there.
Oh, really? But I thought it was all fenced off.
Maybe it was. We could see it from the distance, I'm sure. But it becomes like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where you look, there, look, Camelot. It's only a model. You know, it was like the model of Windsor Castle is what we saw.
I mean, I went to the one in Warwick. It had like a moat, you know. And I went to the moat that you got to visit the prison cells, you know, that they had. It was like a real, you know, then they had the dining room, you know.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
It looked good. It looked good. It was like that. That was my vision of what a castle.
That's what you want. So one golden year of American Dave in Britain, and then
I would love to come back, you know, but I do have a life here too, so that's
of course. Well, then I saw you, I came to see you in San Diego because I did a road trip from coast to coast. It was east coast to south coast to west coast of the US, and we saw you in San Diego and you showed us the beautiful
it's great.
It's great.
There's some great things. I think I'm gonna go surfing this in a day or two. So
I remember that beach because that was the beach, your beach was the one where we got a bottle, like a plastic bottle, Evian bottle, whatever, and we put sand in it and seawater from the east coast, and we brought it with us on the road trip to release it back into the wilds of the west coast. So it was on your beach that we in theory have damaged an entire ecosystem by
destroyed
infecting.
I don't know how many.
The Pacific. We brought the Atlantic to the Pacific.
Life. You know what else we haven't mentioned? Global warming.
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
I mean, that's
because we've not brought the listeners down enough with all the pandemic.
Are you ready? I mean, so again, I got to stop watching the news, you know. But we have crazy wildfires out here.
It's been mad, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been mad. Crazy wildfires, just filling smoke, you know. Everywhere. So that is something that and it's been hot as well.
Do you have any hope or wisdom on global warming, or is it all just another thing we can file under bleakness we currently cope with?
I mean it all is going to work out, right? I mean, in one way or another, it's all going to work out. I do have to have that sort of spiritual faith, you know. Otherwise, you do get lost in the news and in the mind. And my kids don't seem to notice anything.
No, so, they just don't really, just get along.
Yeah, they get along. How old are your kids again?
8 and 10, yeah.
8 and 10.
And they've been amazing. We did the homeschool thing, which was mad. Yeah. But they just, you know, I remember distinctly saying to my wife, like, how are we going to tell the kids that they don't go to school tomorrow and they're home now, we have school in the kitchen. And we just told them, and they're like, yeah, okay. And I think I could have told them, like, oh, by the way, we're going to go and live in the zoo now. And they go, okay, great, it's fine. They're just very adaptable, amazingly so. We've been struggling, but they've been fine.
You know? Yeah, they've been totally fine.
Yeah.
It's similar here, you know, because they're, 6 and 9. So when it started, the youngest one, it had never been to school anyway. So she was just like, well, I've been home this whole time anyway. So here I am at home in front of a computer, you know, with the teacher who was still learning the technical side of teaching.
Yeah.
that's been interesting in the sense of, And now she's got her first week and she loves school. Mm. I think school is just the best thing ever.
Yep.
You know,
that's great. Well, that's
like in person.
Hopefully
we can keep it, you know,
that's good.
Until the next pandemic comes along.
Well, look, I think I've not mentioned this on this podcast, or I think on any of my various, you know, attempts to do Facebook lives, YouTube lives, whatever, But there's a real moment for me that at the very start of the pandemic was, it's one of the saddest times I've ever experienced. But and basically what it was, there was like one day, I don't know what about yourself, but was one day where, you know, for the week before you could tell that it was going downhill fast. And we all knew that like big stuff's happening in the next week. We just didn't know what or how it looked like. And people were taking the kids out of school. Most weren't, but one or two were. And we were just, and it was like down to personal choice at that point. You know, schools were still open. I was saying to Zoe, my wife, and I, we were like deciding, like, we've had enough. We are like, we want to do what the right, we are taking our kids out of school tomorrow. We're just going to phone the school. And I think at that point, no one else in my kids' classes had done that yet. So we were like, okay, we are making that call and they're staying home tomorrow. And not only that, we are staying home for as long as we can fill this bunker full of food, you know, whatever. And we don't want to stockpile and go crazy. But so we just went mad for a day. And I went to the pet shop. I got the pet food. I said, you know, because we knew we could get home deliveries from the supermarket and stuff like that. But like my wife said, like, oh, I need baking paper and cling film and like stuff that you can't really, you know, from that particular shop in Guildford. It's like, right, I'm going to go there and get it. Went to the bank, paid some checks. All those jobs that you put off, I had to do, you know, you do them all in one day. Everything we might possibly need. Get the kids from school. And it, you know, I was a wreck. I was like nervous, fragile. At this point, my wife was, I think, maybe was starting to get a bit ill because she had COVID herself. So we were struggling through that stuff. My kids, I came a little bit later, so she wasn't at that time. But I went, I was waiting outside my son's school. It was a quite a bright, warm day. And I could hear, as so I was parked outside waiting, and I'd been shopping, so my hands were supermarkety, you know, and I'd not had a chance to wash them. And at that point, we didn't know what, you know, if hand gel's enough or whatever. And I could hear through the open windows of the school, the choir singing. And I could hear a band in a different room practicing, this orchestra, the school orchestra. And I knew that the next day my kids wouldn't be in that school. And I knew that probably within 2 to 3 days, the entire school would close.
Yeah.
And I just bawled my eyes out at the sound of I will be honest, pretty terrible music coming from the school. It wasn't good. But you just knew this is the last time this band are going to play together. This is the last time this choir are going to sing together. And in many cases it was, because then half that year group then left the school at the end of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was an emotional wreck. I was in the car listening to that music going, that's it. From tomorrow onwards, we are isolated at home for who knows how long, months it turned out.
Yeah.
And of course we got through it and we had a, you know, very sad week and all that. But and then the real thing for me was the real thing that I will never forget was that I was crying my eyes out and I thought, I need a tissue. I can't grab a tissue. I can't touch my eyes because I've got supermarkety hands. And it was that thing of like, I'm not only
everything can make you sick. Yeah, anything.
I'm pulling my eyes out and I can't even make my face look better. I had to turn up to pick up the kids up going, yes, I it's just hay fever. It's just an allergy. When actually I was, you know, a bit of a state. And we had like a week, all my work vanished that week. You know, every email and phone call was a cancellation.
So
I had about 2 weeks of kind of depression and rock bottom stuff. Not rock bottom, because I wasn't rock bottom, but
I mean, are you getting any assistance from the government?
Yeah. Like... but then that's the thing. Within a fortnight or so, we got we realized that there will be some support along the way, and there has been, which is now just stopped actually. But you know, it's cost the country a fortune. And I'm much more optimistic now, but I mean, even then I'm still pessimistic, but realistic, let's say. But at the time, I just didn't know what the future would hold and I couldn't work a way through it. But just the sound of that orchestra in the choir, that's what got me. Oh, man. But now to hear them doing it again, they are playing together now.
They're back. I mean,
they're back. They're singing, they're playing. And I appreciate it. I don't take it for granted anymore. I hear the bad singing and the bad playing go, yes, keep practicing.
Even though it's still bad.
Keep practicing. Come on. It's a beautiful
thing. Even though it's still bad. Yeah. I mean, yeah. For me, so, you know, we had this diaper bag business and stuff, but I was doing pizza delivery.
Right.
So that was kind of my part-time gig, which then became my full-time gig. Mm. And everything at work just sort of went crazy for a while, you know, because everyone was ordering.
Yeah.
Because no,
of course you can't go out.
And the roads were empty, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Like there was no rush hour. There was no, you know, And so, but I was, madly delivering pizzas
Yeah.
in a mask.
I know a few. I've got a friend of mine who's a West End singer, like our Broadway, he's lead roles in West End musicals, couldn't perform, of course. So he was, I think, for a while working for four different pizza delivery places just to get enough work to go through it. And our doorsteps sort of go, do you want a song with it? And break into Maria, whatever it might be, Margarita. And it's you do what you do, don't you, to get by. And crazy
We do.
days, crazy days.
We do. Well, I'm glad you're doing well,
Well, likewise, it's good to see you. It's
No.
it's 20
Yeah, I mean, you're
and a
always
bit
welcome to
years.
come visit, and I want to go. I mean, I do feel kind of stuck because of the kids, as far as like travel and are we even allowed now to visit?
I got no idea. We I don't know. We had an overseas holiday planned for last year, which we didn't do, or this year, maybe next year. If we fill up to a flight, we might take that holiday that we were going to across Europe. But I don't know. We haven't left the country. We don't plan on leaving the country for at least another, well, maybe a year. I don't know. Maybe next summer. But I don't know. There are I know people who are overseas now, and but then it's like, will you get back okay? Because if they have quarantines and.
They do.
I don't know. I don't know. And also,
I mean, in
I kind of,
America, they don't. I mean, people can kind of do whatever they want.
I also want to be able to go overseas and get some sun, but I want to be able to relax by a pool and not have to worry. A holiday's meant to be a worry-free zone. And I kind of feel wherever I go in the world right now, I'm just going to probably worry about, can I get home okay?
I mean, once you get your kids, I feel like once I get my kids vaccinated, then it doesn't matter if we get sick. I don't want to get sick. I'm still going to wash my hands. And I was never big on hygiene before, but now I'm definitely like,
Well, do you know what? My
just
wife,
saying. I'm just saying,
my wife, who is currently at a choir right now, bless her, she's singing right now in the hall over the way there. She's always been really super hygienic and really sort of like, keen on that straight away. As soon as we come in the house, wherever you've been, you wash your hands, all that sort of thing. Doesn't like shaking hands with people and stuff like that because it's like, where had that hand been? Doesn't see someone approach you to shake hands or go for a hug when they just blow their nose, and she's like, why would I want to go near you? All that sort of thing. She's always been like that. And now finally she's smugly walking around going, you see, the world has finally caught up with me. And fair enough.
It's good. I mean, now we're doing it quite often. I think I'm going to keep wearing a mask, just me personally. We went to soccer practice. Oh my God, we did soccer,
I've heard of soccer.
with the kids' soccer. It's brave. But we're the only people wearing masks. We have our little girl wearing a mask.
That's the
It's
thing. It's
so.
will you, when I've been into shops where I'm the only one wearing a mask, I wonder for how long will I not succumb to peer pressure and think, well, I'm the only one wearing it, so I won't bother, because it's quite easy to go, actually, why am I going to be the only one? I'll stand out if I wear a mask. Maybe I won't.
I mean, I would hope. I personally, if you want to wear a mask, I think that's great. I would think I'd just do it in general, for myself, just because I don't want to get sick. I just
And you
don't
don't
like
want us
being
to get
sick.
sick. Yeah. It protects others as well. So,
Get others sick. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Wash my hands.
That's it.
I do need to. I only have the cheap medical, grade mask. I never got into like the fabrics,
Oh, yeah.
the beautiful masks, the
Yes, those
ones that
crazy
make
ones.
statements,
I'll send you one.
Oh my God, we had Black Lives Matter too. That was
Of
huge.
course,
Our
yeah.
little town of La Mesa, California, they burned down buildings. The bank was burned.
You've had a time of it. You have had quite a time of it.
Or in the middle of the pandemic too. It's like, don't do anything,
Don't rock
and all of a sudden we
the
have
boat.
a night of rioting.
Oh man. Need some
That was crazy.
Look, we'll have to speak again on a future a podcast thing. Partly because I have to wind up now, sadly, but also we need to speak again when there's good news, because this has
Please.
been a glut
Please.
of this has been a whole
Well,
waterfall
is
of
there ever
misery.
good news though? I mean, I feel like news is sort of generates on the
You're
bad,
right. Maybe you're right.
but I do think that we have a number of societal shifts right now. One of the things I read was that, we're getting all of this right now, So we have contrast for what we do not want.
Right.
You know, so hopefully we can choose to do the things that we, you know, that we pull through. And there is a lot of hope in all this too, because we do have you know, the pandemic is winding down. We have all these things, so.
Well, it makes you appreciate what matters and community and, like I said, the singing, the music, and other freedoms that we've been able to enjoy. I'm not taking it for granted. I'm appreciating it. I hope.
Yes.
Yeah, I think,
It's
and
good
we
news to have.
escape into fiction. So I think for the good news, for the happy story sometimes, because the well, you mentioned soccer. I don't know if you've seen this Ted Lasso we've been watching. Have you seen Ted
Yes,
Lasso?
I've been enjoying Ted Lasso.
And
I don't have Apple TV, so we're getting it like a few weeks later. So
okay,
we've
yeah.
only watched episode 4.
Okay, yeah, we're just onto
Which they didn't really need
season.
the Christmas episode, I have to say.
Didn't need it. Didn't need it. I love Christmas, but still didn't need it. But
Yeah.
no, I watched it going, I don't really like football, but actually very quickly you just fall for the guy and fall for
Oh yeah.
the attitude. It's yeah, so Ted Lasso, Schitt's Creek,
Oh,
and
Schitt's Creek is a great show.
just
Yeah.
good news stuff. Good
Yeah.
feel good,
Good
feel
show.
good fiction. That's what we
Yes.
have been, in need of right now. It'll get
Hey,
us through.
I wish you luck too on all your, you know, the stuff you're working on. Hopefully you can get more gigs.
Hope so. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Although
Yeah.
it's made me think I don't really want to be driving across the country anymore to, Aberdeen and
Yeah.
back for, that said, tomorrow I'm literally leaving here to drive to Yorkshire, which is 4 and a bit hours, and then 4 and a bit hours home because got to
Oh,
be home for Saturday morning.
is that your teaching gig? It's four
No, this
hours
is a
away.
gig. This is just a stand-up gig tomorrow night. But
Okay.
so tomorrow will be about 9 hours of
Do
driving.
you wear a mask when you do the gig?
I think it's on the way to the gig, just me in the car. No. Normally it depends on the gig, but normally I would wear the mask walking in and then walking to where I'm going, to like the green room, the sitting down, whatever, and
Yeah.
then probably masks off depending on who else is there and how big the room is. And then late, I used to walk on stage with the mask and take it off the microphone. Now I've started just walking on without the mask on.
Yeah.
And the audience, generally speaking, many are wearing masks to walk in, but once in their seats, they're
I mean,
taking them
it's
off.
nice
So,
that you guys are 90% jabbed, you
yeah,
know.
jabbed. Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's not going on here, so that's the issue
Well, it's
that
something, and yet still, cases are going up. But like I said, those people who are getting it are, I think, suffering a lot less. So
Yes, that's good.
that's, I guess, what we're after.
So are you doing jokes about the pandemic? Are you
I've
doing
got a
that?
few, but I've not got loads. I've got stuff about a bit about homeschool. I've got some stuff I do about the jokes that no longer work. Things like,
Oh yeah. I would like to hear one of the best jokes you've
well, the
got.
jokes, I don't know how many of these jokes, they're standard, jokes that I think of as standard jokes, but I don't know if they translate to America. So things like an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman, that used to be a familiar joke pattern. But
I don't know the difference.
it would normally be like an Englishman, I bet you don't. It'd be like you must have like an American, a Canadian, and a Russian, I don't know, walk into a
Sure, yeah.
bar, So Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman would normally walk into a bar, but they don't because they can't leave their own countries, let alone their own houses, and the bars are all closed, So it's like you kind of need to rewrite all jokes now because they, my wife's gone to the West Indies. How? She can't fly, all the flights are grounded. It's knock knock, who's there? There's no one there. Because I've left your delivery on the bin lid and I've run down the street so I don't go near your infected house. So it's even your standard
Funny.
classics have
Those are
had to
good.
change.
Those are good.
So
I like
that's
it.
where
I
we
like it. It's
stand.
funny.
Anyway, it's
All right.
been a
Always a pleasure.
joy to speak to you, American Dave, as
Yeah.
ever. We must do it again, you
Hopefully.
know.
So are you doing a podcast then where you've got like you know, the six people and they, you know, what are you doing,
Well, good
basically?
question. Good question. So I did that called the Heptagon Club. So it's seven
Yeah, which
guests
was
per
good.
week.
I subscribed.
You did? Well, thank you for that. But it was an editing nightmare because I had to weave in all these seven different stories.
Yeah.
So on the same podcast channel, I just renamed the podcast channel to A Paul Carenza Podcast. So you can still hear
Okay.
those episodes way back. Then I did a bit called Comedians with Books when I was interviewing different comedians who've got books for a limited run. And now it's just called. It's called, I mean, this little sub podcast, I suppose, is called Catching Up. And it's just catching up with old friends, really, and seeing how they are,
Okay.
mostly thanks to Zoom and things, checking
Okay.
in post-pandemic or mid-pandemic or wherever we are. And
Okay.
catching up
So
on a
it's, and
Paul
I can
Carenza
just find
podcast.
it on the just general podcasts.
Yeah, if you look on a Paul Carenza podcast, you will find this. And this has been Catching Up with American Dave.
Oh, thank you.
There he is.
It was a pleasure, everybody.
So that was American Dave. What a lovely chap. He's a great egg, a marvellous individual. Love to him and his family, from my place in Guildford to his in San Diego. The world is shrinking, isn't it? Thanks to all this technology and things, we can have a nice little video call from one part of the world to the other. It's a marvellous thing. Thank you for joining us here on Catching Up with American Dave on this occasion. This is a Paul Carenza podcast, and do browse the back episodes as well. You can find the Heptagon Club, Comedians with Books, and various Catching Ups. And don't forget, I also have the British Broadcasting Century podcast, where you can currently find out all about New Year's Eve 1922. That was our latest episode there that tells you all about everything going on for the first BBC New Year's Eve. Anyway, next time on a Paul Carenza podcast, catching up with James Carey, comedy writer extraordinaire, and plenty more besides. This has been Paul Carenza. You have been you. Take care.